This is Jay Schaff for Coalition for Free Thought Media, and this is Free Thought Radio, and this is the Thought Bomb Radio Hour, shocking off of the mind. And I have Heather Gorman here with me. Her husband, Chris, is over in Iraq with the 4th Infantry Division, and basically, I'm just going to let her tell his story and hers in their own, you know, her own words, and ask her some questions, and just have her explain a lot of stuff so it's really easy to understand. Your husband is Chris. Can you kind of tell me what's going on right now? He's a conscientious objector for anybody who doesn't know. He has filed paperwork to be discharged from the military for religious purposes against war, and I'm just going to let Heather explain that.
Well, he filed as a CO status at the beginning of November, and back and forth, they told him he wasn't going to be going to Iraq, that he'd be working on his packet from 4th ID. Then they changed that and said, yeah, you're going to Iraq. He got to Iraq, or he got to Kuwait, and they said, well, you can stay here and work on your packet from here. You'll have all, you know, the necessary phones and internet, whatever you need to contact your lawyer, which was a lie. The phones and internet were down for weeks at a time. Then they changed their mind and ordered him out to Iraq, and he's been there ever since. On top of, you know, waiting for, you know, paperwork to go through, which is now at the Pentagon, has been sitting there for 2 weeks. Now he was told yesterday that he is no longer allowed to recognize the status, as he has been doing for the last few months, that they're going to give him an hour, and that if he doesn't show up for work, they will give him a charge of dereliction of duty and an Article 15. And that's where we're at right now.
Okay, now you have a website called soldiersrights.com, is that correct?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay, and on that website there's a timeline from the very beginning of when Chris joined up. That was July of 2003?
Yeah, he left the boot camp July of 2003. He inquired April of 2003 about the military. At that time we were obviously handed a load of crap because the recruiter that we spoke with said, you know, it's a basically a 9-to-5 job. You'll get trained in whatever specialty you want to do. At the most, you'll be gone 1 day a month for duty, which I was aware of because my ex-husband was in the Navy and he had duty once a month. And he said, and as far as the war that was going on, he goes, you probably won't even see it because it won't last very long and you'll have to have at least 2 years of training. But that was all incorrect. None of it was accurate at all.
And they actually said he had to have 2 years of training just to go over to Iraq on deployment.
Yep. They said you wouldn't go anytime. And they told Chris, they said you wouldn't be going anytime soon because you should have at least 2 years of training before you go into any kind of combat.
Now, what was he originally going to go in for? What was his original plan for his job in the military?
Well, the thing that jumped out at Chris was that he wanted to be a combat engineer. And what we were told was that it had to deal with mines, sweeping for mines, building bridges, doing construction, that kind of thing. And he was trained in the AIT for that. He had 2 extra weeks of training to train on the large machinery, the bulldozers, that kind of stuff, and he's never used it once. Not once.
Now, what is he really doing right now? What is his job status right now with them?
Well, right now, he is delivering batteries and towel. When it changed, when he got back from Iraq the first time, this is his second deployment, by the way. When he got back from Iraq the first time, they had switched him. The engineering companies were all spread out. They were broken up. There's no longer engineering. There was, you know, embedded in infantry, and they made him a Bradley driver. He was given lots of training on that, so on and so forth. And then he realized that what was going on was just inappropriate, and he became a Christian. And since growing into that, he became a CO.
Now, you said he went over there the first time. How long was he deployed the first time?
Well, that's another lie that we were told. Originally, he wasn't even supposed to go. I was in South Dakota with my two kids, and I was pregnant and having lots of complications. And he got to Fort Hood on December 5th, and they said, no, you won't be going. Go ahead and move your family down here. And he asked over and over and over. He said, I don't want to bring my family, you know, down to Texas if I have to go, because then they're going to be thousands of miles away from any family or friends. And I said, not right. And they said, no, you won't be going, because by the time you get back from your leave and moving your family, the last plane will have left, and everyone's going to be back from 4th IV in March anyways. So we started to move. I ended up real sick and had the baby prematurely and got down to Texas, and a week later they gave him orders, and a week after that he was in Iraq. He got back April 15th of 2004.
Okay, so this is yet another situation where a soldier is being deployed for a second time in less than 2 years to... This time he's supposed to be deployed for at least a year, is that correct?
Right.
And he basically came to the realization that as a Christian, you know, I understand what a Bradley driver was. He would be basically going in with, you know, the main assault units and firing on anything and everything that they told him to. And, you know, what was his thoughts about that?
Well, actually, I don't think he really realized all that was going on. We started having problems with the military just with the scheduling, and they kept changing things, and they'd have him gone for weeks at a time and weekends, and you know, last minute, you know, we're leaving for the week, and, I mean, there was just no respect. Our family was always in shambles, just not knowing what was going to happen next. And that really started to take a toll on our family. And we went and we approached Captain Cook and Lieutenant Deprio in regards to what was going on and how it was affecting our family and our wife, and, I mean, all of it. And it was actually Captain Cook's suggestion that that my husband filed for a hardship. He said, you're clearly not, you know, you're not adjusting to military life the way that most soldiers do. And we thought it was an answer to prayer, because we had been praying that something would just happen that we wouldn't have to deal with this crap anymore. I mean, it was just ongoing, non-stop, lies and deceits and just everything. It was just, it's very difficult on a family. And so we got the paperwork together, we got the letters, we turned it in, and Captain Cook said, well, I'm going to deny it. And I called him and I said, why? I mean, why are you denying something that you made the suggestion of? I don't get it. And he said there wasn't enough proof. I said, but there was enough proof for you to make the suggestion, so when did it change? So it went all the way up the chain of command and back down and up again because there was missing paperwork. I mean, they basically just sat on it. And they took their time because they knew that he would probably be getting orders soon. And just when it went through, he got orders to go to Iraq, and it didn't leave us any time to figure out what to do next.
So basically, you know, it was just a situation. Now, how quickly did he find, you know, he had filed the paperwork to be a CO and everything at that point. Is that correct?
Yeah, right after it was denied, I actually contacted Army Legal and asked what the appeals process was, because we didn't know anything about a CO. We didn't even know that was an option. That was never given to us. And I called military legal, and he said, well, there isn't an appeals process for that. You're going to have to suck it up, and he's going no matter what you do. I said, well, I don't, you know, that's ridiculous. And he said, well, if you were a good wife, you wouldn't be encouraging any bad behavior, and you wouldn't encourage him to go AWOL or anything else like that. I said, well, our family's on the line. And so if you can't hack it, then move back home. And I said, I'm 32 years old, and I have three kids, and then we just bought a house, and he goes, sell it. And that made me pretty angry, because it was a clear lack of disrespect. So Chris ended up calling the DI Rights and told them what was going on, and I spoke to a couple counselors, and they said, well, what's your beliefs and all that's going on? Why didn't you go for CO status? And when we asked what that was, then it was explained to us, and they sent us the information, and it was like, well, why weren't we given this to begin with? And so we got all the paperwork together, and Chris turned it in right away. And Captain Cook said, oh, you did your homework this time, huh? And it went, you know, the next day, Chris had the interview with the chaplain and the psychiatrist. And then the following week, it was with the, the IO investigating officer, which was Captain Hills. And when we did that, we knew right then and there when we walked into this hearing or whatever it was that they had already made a decision that they weren't going to approve it, even though Captain Hales had told Chris that anything that he said, any past issues, was going to be irrelevant, and that he was going to look at the facts of the case, and that was not true at all.
Okay, we're going to take a break now for anybody that's doing this for podcasting. We'll be right back.